Thank you very much. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, did you know that there is a book in the Bible that speaks to God's people at such a time as this? And it's none other than the book of Amos. You could begin to turn there if you'd like. In the book of Amos, we find ourselves transported back to the 8th century. And there we find God's covenant people, Israel, greatly anticipating and deeply longing for the return of Jesus Christ. Just like us, they longed for the day of the Lord. And just like us, we actually find them in observance of feast days. And at first glance, the anticipation for Christ's return and their observance may seem to indicate that they were pleasing to God. But what we soon find is that there was something devastatingly wrong. What was occurring in their lives was such an offense to God that He actually rejects all of their observance and all of their religious activity. He rejects it all. Why? Well, it's of vital importance for us to uncover this today, because one doesn't have to look too closely at the book of Amos to see the distinct parallels between God's people then and God's people today. So let's see this. Amos chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 18. Amos 5, verse 18. While you turn there, let me set the scene a little bit more here. Amos was chosen. He was a chosen prophet of God to bring a chilling message to God's people. He was to bring a message of rebuke to a people who were desperately and longing for Christ's return, wanted His return above anything else, but their anticipation and their longing for that day did not move them to live in a righteous way. Amos chapter 5, let's read verse 18 through 20. This is speaking of Christ's return here. Amos 5, verse 18, he says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It'll be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, and as though he went into the house, leaned his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is not it very dark with no brightness in it?" Let's stop there. So we see that they were in great anticipation for His return. They desired it. And so Amos is going to address himself to this whole issue, and he starts here in verse 18 when he says, "Woe, woe to you who desire the return of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of this day." They looked toward the return of Jesus Christ and the day of the Lord as being a day of victory. It would be a day of power, great intervention on behalf of their people, a day in which God would come and destroy their enemies. They looked for this day to be the beginning of a time that they hoped for. So what could possibly be wrong with such thinking? And who could possibly speak against this type of necessary future focus? Well, the answer is Amos could, and Amos did. Amos reacts to their anticipation in this way, not because he doubted that the day of the Lord was coming. He was just as certain as they were, but he was also more certain that when that day came, it would look drastically different than the day that they had hoped for. And look what he says here. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? You know, Amos is speaking to a people here whose personal conduct did not match their calling. It's that simple. You think you're going to do well on this day? And he says, well, here's the message. It's going to be as if you run into a lion. And somehow you're able to escape that lion. And you turn around and there's a bear. And somehow you're able to escape that bear. You run into the house. You take a deep breath. You lean against the wall. And there's a serpent to bite you. Will not this day be darkness and light? And again, why would he say this to them? Well, they were a people who were marked. Marked by an anticipation that did not produce holy and righteous living. God is not only concerned with our desire for these future events to unfold. He is more concerned about the righteousness that we are displaying while we wait. And if you look at verse 21 through 23, it's not that their religious activities were declining. They were very well rehearsed in these feast days. But God hated it all of it. Look at verse 21 through 23. God is speaking through Amos here. He says, verse 21, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your song, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. So they kept the feast days, sacred assemblies. They wouldn't dare miss it. Burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings. It was all there. I'm sure their music was beautiful. I'm sure it was beautiful music. Isn't that the kind of devotion that God's looking for? Well, what did he say? What did verse 21 say? I hate. I despise. I do not savor. I will not accept. I have no regard. I'm not even going to listen to your music. Take it away from me. And if you notice, he didn't say, I despise the feasts. He says, I despise your feasts. And so on, all the way through. Feast days were not the issue. What was the issue? You want to know what the issue was? That the reality of those days coming to pass did not move them to overcome sin. Sin, the very thing that would bring darkness upon them at Christ's return. They were there for the feasts, assemblies, prayers. Why would God reject them? It's the same reason you and I are at risk of Him rejecting our observance here today. All of the religious activity that goes on in God's church may simply be a mask. A mask covering our personal spiritual immorality. And as all these activities may merely be for us what it was for Israel, a mask. You know, that's a pretty horrible thought to think about. But if righteousness is absent from our personal lives, God will reject our feast observance as well. God makes it clear. When verse 24 comes along, God's making it clear here. There is a righteousness that He requires. Look at verse 24. After He says all of that, He says, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. He says, if you're here in anticipation of my return, and you're not concerned, knowing this day is coming, if you're not concerned with overcoming sin, then he says that the religious activities is of no use because your personal conduct does not match up with this high calling that I've given you. You're not living as if you understand that my son is coming. This is what he's saying. He says, you're foolish to think that when this day comes, you can escape it. Because you carry some privilege to a calling, a special relationship to God. Well, that might be so, but that's not enough to bring you into entering into his family. And so God sent Amos and he says, I want to tell you, change is needed. It's the time. God wants you to live a certain way. There's a righteousness that he requires. In verse 25, he asked this question, verse 25, did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? The statement is there to say it's not just the sacrifices of and by themselves that's significant. It's not so much the religious worship, the activities, the feast days. That's not the only requirement. It's not the issue. The issue is that every day out of your life, justice rolls and righteousness flows. Your worship, my worship, must be marked with a certain kind of living. The righteousness God requires is it's a complete, wholehearted devotion and dedication to making progress. Significant progress over sin each and every day. Bring the sin to mind right now that you've been struggling with the most. Today is the day for change. Jesus Christ addressed this whole issue when he said, many will come to me and say, didn't we do all this in your name? Jesus, I know you saw my feasts. I was there for every one of them. I know you saw my Sabbaths. There, every one of them. I know you saw that. And what's his response? I don't even have to finish it, do I? Huh. I never knew you. It's simple. The feast days bring change. Radical change. You are here to fulfill a purpose. You have had placed upon you an anointing. Your eyes have been healed to something great that is occurring here on this earth. And you are part of it. You and I have been selected to prepare a path for the return of Jesus Christ. Ordinary men and women, just like Amos. Ordinary men and women, chosen for the extraordinary. And so our worship must be accompanied by clear evidences of righteous living. Now is the time for the voice of Amos to be heard in the church of God. For it is the time for judgment to begin with who? The house of God. It begins with us. And as daunting as it is to live righteously in an unrighteous world, I believe we can do it. I believe that we can rise to this challenge. It's an incredible challenge. And rise not only on the fact of the knowledge of who we ought to be, but rise first on the acknowledgement that we're not there yet. But rise nevertheless by the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the ability to fulfill what's necessary. Let it flow. Use these days as days of change. Use these days as a recommitment, a true recommitment, a deep recommitment to righteous living. And let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream.